The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-3776 is your number. 713-780-ESPN. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Miss the first hour? All over the place. A lot of football. So, fun first hour. We're happy to be back in studio. You can check us out on that Twitch channel, too. As JP said, if you can get Charlie to talk about gambling in depth, I'll tune in for the full 3 hours no matter what I'm doing.
We'll see. We'll see what we can pull off.
We'll see. I'm intrigued by how that's going to work. I mean, it's one of those things. It could be awesome. It could be a glorious disaster. I'm down for either one. Hockley Dan said, did you guys like the podcast show? Will there be more of those going forward when you guys travel to do road shows? I'm always curious what the listeners thought about it. From our perspective, I loved it.
Because we didn't have to wait between break. Like, we didn't have to sit there during a break. We were able to just keep going.
And
it would take what, 30 seconds to save a segment?
Yeah, about. And another 10 seconds to get the next one set up.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate that, you know, doing a 3 hour show takes 3 hours and it really could take about 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But that's the life.
Well, and it just, like I said, I thought it helped with the flow.
Yes.
Because, you know, sometimes. Especially when a break's fairly long, you kind of lose track of where you were.
Yeah.
And it happens. But this time we were able to just go boom, boom, boom. Plus, we got to go drink great beer after that.
Yeah.
And so when you guys were listening, we were drinking beer. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing it again. I don't think it's something we can do too often. Because most of the time, the only thing that I was really concerned about was if there'd been breaking news during the show. And we wouldn't have been able to talk about it. But it didn't happen. So, you have to kind of pick your spots with these things. 409 says not going to be in town for What Are the Odds Wednesday, so what are the odds Fuller is healthy for the next three games? Carry the 2-4%.
Yeah, good luck.
Somebody asked, will you guys be on 11 or your usual time, and will it be the only show on Friday? We'll be on at our usual time, I guess, pending Aggie basketball. I guess theoretically we might have to move it around a little.
Yeah.
But we'll be on, the plan is to be 4-7.
Charlie will be in here from 4-6.
Okay. So, yeah, that'll be our, but that's the plan, and we are the only show going. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You want to look at the rest of the NFL, or really all the NFL.
Yeah, let's do it.
Technically, because usually this is what we do at 5 o'clock on Monday, so we'll jump right in. And we'll start with the Buccaneers beating the Falcons, 35-22. Right when I finally decide,
I'm back on that train.
And now I'm off it for good. And as far as I'm concerned, Matt Ryan had he didn't play very well. And I'm watching early on when the Falcons are up and Winston's got two interceptions. I'm like, okay, this is going exactly how I thought it would. And then it went the exact opposite, 35-22.
Yeah, the Falcons continue to be plagued by the fact that they don't have a running back.
Yeah.
And I know they had Brian Hill had a good couple games when he was first called on, and he sucks now. I mean, 9 carries, 14 yards, and they brought in Kadri Allison, and he had 8 carries, 20 yards. It's like, dude, you know who the best runner was? Calvin Ridley. 1 carry, 15 yards. They should have given him more carries.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, I mean, if you said that's the stat line you get out of Jameis Winston, 18-28, 313, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Sadly, at this point, Bucks fans are like, yeah, we might have won that game.
That's a good game, yeah.
Honestly, the Bucks are a scary team, and the Falcons are too. those are teams that I don't want to bet on them when they're favorites. I do like to bet on them when they're underdogs because they will backdoor you. The Falcons just couldn't get it done this time.
Yeah, I don't want to bet on either one of them ever again. So
I would bet both of them have a significantly better record ATS as a dog than a favorite.
Probably. Although I'm not even sure the Falcons have a very good one as a dog. No, they just don't. Happen to have recency bias over the 2 weeks before that. Bills over the Broncos, 20-3. And I do think that the Bills are a little underappreciated right now. I don't think they're great. I don't think they're on a level with the – and maybe they are with the Patriots. I don't know if the Patriots are as good as their record. I just think they've benefited from a pretty easy schedule. But I do think they're a step above the Texans, Colts, Titans of the world. And they continue to perform well. And their schedule hasn't been great either, but – that's a solid football team.
So the question becomes: Do you trust the Bills come playoff time? And that's a whole different conversation. I think no.
The regular season, I do.
But if I went through the rest of their regular season schedule with you, it's to me, at worst, it's 10-6. They're going to finish.
That'll get them in.
So they're at Dallas on Thanksgiving, which, by the way, I'm not counting. I mean, you could. That's one of the ones I'm saying at worst, 10-6. I could see them easily winning that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have them winning it, but I could see it happening.
Home against the Ravens, I'll count that as an L.
Yeah.
At the Steelers, I don't think the Steelers can beat that team.
At this point, the Steelers can't score.
At the Pats, count that as a loss. And then home to the Jets. I mean,
that's a win.
I think they're at 10-6 minimum. And they're the one team I'm almost sure is a wild card team in the AFC.
Well, and I think they could easily win against they could easily beat the Cowboys and at home, depending on what the weather is against the Ravens. I wouldn't be shocked if they were able to beat them.
And mind you, when they get to those playoffs, they wouldn't be playing against the Pats or the Ravens in the first week, and
it would be Texans or Chiefs.
And depending on which Chiefs show up,
yeah,
those games are winnable games.
We say Texans or Chiefs. I mean,
presumably.
Yeah.
Could be Raiders or Colts, whoever. Whoever it is, I'm not saying they're significantly better than the Bills.
Bears beat the Giants 19-14. I think they figured out how to use Mitchell Trubisky. Just let him take off and run all the time. That was brutal, though.
That was so bad. And, I mean, the first half was really bad. That was such a slam dunk under. Really, it should have been even more of an under, but there was a fumble at like the 2 yard line, so the Bears got an easy touchdown that they would have never driven down the field to get. The Giants also should have had an easier time covering the six, but their kicker missed 2 field goals. Dude, there's so many kickers in this league getting away with these crimes.
Yeah,
I mean, at some point, teams just have to start letting heads roll. What happened to the old days when, you missed 2 kicks, you missed kicks in back to back weeks? Oh, you're fired. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Maybe there's not enough of them out there.
Giants, Colts, Texans all need a new kicker. They should maybe just rotate them and see what happens.
Yeah, maybe change the scenery each way. Steelers do beat the Bengals 16-10. Didn't look like they were going to for most of that game.
No, but you know what? Credit to the Steelers. They decided halfway through that game, this Mason Rudolph thing, this ain't working.
Right.
We gotta figure something else out. And Devlin Hodges has some upside. I don't know. I mean, he's obviously raw, but he's got some upside to him. And they looked better with him going, and it got him a win that it looked like they were gonna be the first team to lose to the Bengals. And
it helped they got 2 fumbles in the fourth quarter, which was typical Bengals.
And shout out Bengals for covering. So that's all that really mattered.
Yeah, that's all we cared about.
You play to cover the game, Bengals.
The Browns beat the Dolphins 41-24. We were talking about this one a little bit in the first hour, and as much as I felt like that was too big of a spread, I think the Browns are one of those teams that they're classic front runners, and they're an emotional team, and if they get you down, then they can beat just about anybody. But if they get behind, they can lose to anybody, and we've seen that with them all year. They got off to a 28-3 lead, and that was that.
Boy, I just realized, I'm looking at the standings, I didn't even realize the Steelers are above 500.
That's
a phony team.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. That's why the Steelers and Browns are kind of hanging around at the bottom of that wild card race. They're not out of it yet.
No.
And the best part about this game, though, was Jarvis Landry for my fantasy team.
Well, congratulations.
It was one of those weeks where everybody that all my good players were on bye, but except for my receivers, and I had choices between Landry, Edelman, and DJ Moore. And it was between Landry and Moore because I always start Edelman. And
Sounds like you made the right call.
Moore scored 36 points and Landry scored... Moore scored 30 and Landry scored 36, and I won by three. So the decision worked out great.
Well done.
Speaking of Moore, he had 126 yards and two TDs himself, but they lose to the Saints 34-31.
Another... Dude, a kicker just cost you the game.
Yeah.
Which I don't... Boy, I didn't get to see that whole game. I did... I was stat watching, though, or I was box score or app watching it, and... Saints were dominating, and I was like, yep, glad I didn't take those big points with the Panthers because they're dead. They're dead in the water. That's what I've been thinking all week. I don't want to bet on the Panthers. No way. They come all the way back, and then they miss, like, what is that, like a 21-yard field goal?
It's
like,
a chippy, yeah.
It's like the shortest field goal you can possibly have, and he missed it? Indoors? Kickers! And then the Saints go down and win the game on their own field goal. Just a... That's embarrassing. It really is.
Yeah.
And not that they, it didn't feel like they should have won that game, but to come all the way back and that's what keeps you from winning that game, and that's a conference matchup.
Or at least having a chance to win the game, certainly. I mean, because
maybe they go down and kick it again, but dude, I mean, it's just, it's unmanageable that there's teams losing games like that week in and week out. And not only that, I mean, the Panthers are one of those teams, like, that was pretty much a must-win if they wanted to make the playoffs. Because unlike the AFC, there's a couple teams starting to pull away from the pack in the wild card race. It's the Seahawks are starting to pull away, and whoever's second place in the NFC North between the Packers and Vikings is pulling away.
If I were to bet, I would say the Packers right now.
But yeah, so it looks... I mean, the Saints and Cowboys... Saints and the NFC East winner. There's not going to be a wild card from the NFC East or the NFC South after last night. Panthers falling to 5-6 pretty much locks that up.
And the Raiders go in and just get housed by the Jets. This is the first bad game the Raiders have played in a while. And
how odd that the Jets are the ones who did it. I did say the Jets can stop the run, which worried me a little bit, because the key to the Raiders' offensive breakout this season is Josh Jacobs. That dude is legit. I mean, he's a great pass protector. He runs hard. He's like a sort of a poor man Zeke Elliott. I like him a lot. And they did a good job of holding him. And basically all of the success that they've had has been keyed off of him. He got held in check yesterday. They weren't playing the Bengals or the Chargers. And, well, guess what? They got housed.
Yeah, Derek Carr wasn't great. But Sam Darnold had one of those games where you look at him and go, okay, that's
right.
That's why you drafted him that high.
Looks like a pretty good pick.
And, I mean, he was throwing some dimes out there, too. And there were a couple of pass plays. There was one to Robbie Anderson where this was a beautiful pass. And he was doing. They were getting him out of the pocket a little more. I thought he looked really, really good in that game. And yeah, they the third quarter they just blew up. And of course, I got to watch every minute of it because that was one of the two that were available on the plane.
Did you ever think coming into the season that we'd be going into Week 13 and the Raiders would be playing the Chiefs for a share of first place in the division?
I did not think there was any chance.
No
of that.
Way. Yeah, I mean. You would have had to. The Chiefs would have had to have a horrible start, and the Raiders would have had to have a fantastic start, and that's what's happened. And if the Raiders beat the Chiefs on Sunday, they're both 7-5, and they've split the series.
Yeah, I'd like to say, hey, I can't really see that happening, but the reality
you've seen the Chiefs defense.
I've seen the Chiefs defense.
That's possible.
And yeah, you know, that wasn't an easy game to go in and play noon in New York. It never is. So I could see the Raiders bouncing back, but we shall see. I don't think this is I keep believing in the Chiefs, and I really shouldn't at this point.
No.
I mean, because what they've shown me visually is not what I think they are. All right, we'll get to the rest of the games when we come back. But, hey, it's gift-giving time, and you know what? Now is the time to get something that's going to be awesome that you're all going to love. How about giving the gift of Houston Rockets basketball this holiday season? They've got holiday packs on sale now. It's your chance to see James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and the Rockets take on all kinds of competition here over the next month. And with every pack comes a gift card to the Rockets team shop. Speaking of the team shop, the Rockets have released their new NASA-inspired city jersey. So that is pretty cool. If you haven't seen the new city jersey, it's all inspired by NASA. You can get one starting November 27th, that's in 2 days, at the Rockets team shop or at rocketshop.com. And if you come by Toyota Center on the 27th, guess who'll be signing from 11 to noon? Eric Gordon. So you get a chance to get an Eric Gordon signature while you're doing it. Rockets tickets, new jerseys, new gear, all of them make for perfect holiday gifts this holiday season. Head to Rockets.com today to purchase and get in on the game, get in on the new jerseys. It's all at Rockets.com.
I got big stacks coming out to save. I got Lil Max with me, he the wave. It's a big gap between us and the game. In the next life, I'm trying to stay paid. When I die, I put my money in a grave.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. Somebody wants us to ask Charlie about him reclining on an airplane.
Oh, yeah, we can bring that up. Yeah,
definitely. Although, what?
What happened to the loose rims in Maui?
Not going your way yet.
No, it's
still
on,
early.
Boy. It's not really early yet. We need some points scored here.
It's moderately early.
No.
No? Okay, so it's late, but that's okay.
It's getting late.
Real quick, I just wanted to get a quick plug for Sports Map. Please check it out over the next few days. We'll have lots of great content. And I always like to, one of the things I'm going to be doing for the first couple weeks of December is sort of evaluating things that are underperforming and looking at replacing them. So if you have some ideas, and not, oh, we'll get rid of this guy. Yeah, not stuff like that. But if you have some ideas on things you'd like to see on the site, just shoot me an email, and I'd appreciate any input. We will try some new things, and video-wise, we're in great shape. So it's really more written content. So if you got some ideas, just shoot me an email. I'll be happy to take a look at it because I'm always trying to make it better. And right now we're almost double our biggest month ever. So, it's all going great, but you never stop there, AJ.
You never stop.
You always keep
it. It's early yet.
It is early yet because you always want it to get better and better. All right. Let's finish off the games. Let me see if I can figure out where we were. Okay. Yeah, Jets Raiders. And it's not calling it up. Jeez, see this? This is what happens when you're old. You don't have any.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily.
Or stupid?
No.
Okay. All right. Seahawks and Eagles. Seahawks beat the Eagles. I think we can quit thinking of the Eagles as a good football team at this point.
They're not good.
And, as much as everybody wants to talk about Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson's going to be hard to beat for MVP.
Yeah. I don't know that he was necessarily spectacular yesterday,
but he did just enough.
Came up in some key moments. He got sacked like 100 times, which is concerning.
And that offensive line it's so funny that they made so many deals with the Texans because that's kind of what they are at times. I mean, they had no offensive line. Their quarterback has to carry him. They finally had a really big day from Penny.
But if you're saying, okay, no Dwayne Brown, no Jadeveon Clowney, and you're on the road on the East Coast.
Yeah,
I would have said, boy, that's tough to win. And that game wasn't as close as
it wasn't, as
the score says. I mean, that wasn't a close game. Mm-hmm. That was domination.
Carson Wentz put up some numbers, but also lost two.
Carson Wentz sucked yesterday.
Two interceptions. I mean, he went full Jameis Winston. And I'm starting to wonder about that guy too. At some point,
he had that breakout season where he got in, and then he got injured. And then he's just kind of been a ghost since.
And it kind of reminds me like Derek Carr had the great season and got hurt.
But Derek Carr is at least getting back to
at least doing he's starting to look like a quarterback again. Redskins.
But okay, let me ask you this: who would you rather have, Derek Carr or Carson Wentz?
Boy, I still want to say Wentz just because
the pedigree says it's
man, I don't know at this point. If you just look at them as separate entities. I might have to say Derek Carr. Derek Carr had a crap game yesterday, too. Let's not.
Yeah, he did.
Redskins.
He's just had less of them.
Yeah. Redskins beat the Lions 19-16.
Oh,
hail
boy
to the Redskins. My favorite part of this was Dwayne Haskins getting a selfie while he was supposed to be on the field at the end of the game. They got the ball back on a turnover. Oh. And so Case Keenum had to go take the knee because they couldn't find Haskins because he was getting a selfie.
And Dwayne Haskins didn't. He was not good. There was nothing good that happened in this game. This is like, if you sat down and this was the first football game you ever watched in your life, you're never going to be a football fan.
What an ugly game. It was between this and the Cowboys-Patriots. If you watch those, you're like, ugh. Yeah, I mean, even if you just look at the box score and try to pick out one positive, nope.
It's really hard to find one.
The Titans run away and hide from the Jags, 42-20. Got off to a big start, and that kind of put it in Nick Foles' hands. The Jags couldn't come back.
The Jags are awful.
Yeah, and I mean, this is three ass kickings in a row, so I think it's safe to say that, you know, and I don't know that it can all be traced to Jalen Ramsey being gone, but the defense isn't very good. Offensively, they can't score. And this was their stretch to make some hay in the division.
Yeah.
And the Texans housed them, the Colts housed them, and now the Titans have housed them. So,
At 4-7, you're like, okay. You look at their four wins: Titans, Browns, Bengals, Jets.
Yeah.
Like, if the Titans are your best win on the season, you're just not a very good team.
Yeah, and because the Titans wouldn't be over 500 if they hadn't just beat you themselves. So, yeah. But at least the Titans are – I know this will be new hot take is, oh, the Titans are the hot team in the division. Well, they've had a pretty good stretch here. We'll find out. They get the Colts next, and that's –
if they beat the Colts, then I think we can probably stop talking about the Colts and start talking about the Titans.
I kind of feel like this is an elimination game for either the division or the wild card.
Because here's what the Titans have that the Colts don't. Titans have both games with the Texans left, so they can make up ground. The Colts, they've had theirs. So
they said the Titans get the Colts here, so this is a good spot for somebody to sort of take the lead for being the top contender for the division and for the wild card.
And credit where it's due. Ryan Tannehill's doing good things.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... Had you asked me if he would be an... I didn't think he'd be an upgrade over Mariota. He's a significant upgrade. I mean, that's... And I don't know if that's more of an indictment on Mariota or what, but the team looks better with him. The quarterback play is better. It's just... It's a completely different-looking team.
They're at a better pace. And the reality is, he hasn't made any mistakes. He did have a fumble yesterday. But, you know, they want to run the ball first with Derrick Henry and have Tannehill manage everything. And when he's completing 14 of 18 passes, that's managing everything.
Yeah.
So, credit to them for making that change. It's worked out so far. I don't know how it'll hold up long term. But, you know, and especially since we see how bad the Jaguars are right now.
But after a 2-4 start, they've won four of their last five.
Is that good?
We had basically written the Titans off. Yeah. And then they make a quarterback change and boom. Well, you know.
Sometimes that happens. All right, we've got a couple more games to get to. Do we have time, or do we need to move on to? Okay, yeah. Let's go ahead and knock these games out then, because Cowboys Patriots we talked about in the first hour, so I don't think we have to revisit that too much. 49ers Packers we did not talk about.
That's a game that right from the start I was like, what is happening here? They call it taunting on Davante Adams like 15 seconds into the game for like shoulder bumping a cornerback. When does that ever happen in the NFL? Set a really weird pace for the game, but the reality was that the Packers just didn't show up to play. The 49ers were better. That's a good team. And the 49ers, if they were getting quality play out of quarterback, they would be a monster, right? I mean, they're much like the Patriots, another team getting mediocre play from quarterback, and the rest of that team is just on a roll. But right now, the biggest concern for the 49ers is probably Garoppolo. He's been very mediocre. The rest of that team, especially the defensive front, my goodness, they are a really good team.
Nick Bosa, the greater Bosa right now, too.
Boy.
He's been fantastic.
So, I mean, that was a showcase game for the Niners, and I came away pretty impressed.
Yeah,
I was starting to think now, mind you, when I said I would like the Packers, I was assuming no Sanders and no
Kittle, yeah,
and they both play and both had success. So
Kittle was a freaking beast too. Yeah. But I kind of felt like the Packers might be a little bit of a phony at 8-2. But believe it or not, after this game, I'm not gonna. They didn't reinforce it necessarily, because I think they just played, they just dropped a turd. Just like when the Texans went in and played the Ravens. Just one of those you got to draw a line through and say, okay, this wasn't very good. All right. So that was all your NFL games. How about that? So we'll have Lance Zierlein joining us.
The famous next. Lance Zierlein.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows. Guys, don't let the cold weather seep into your home during the cold time of year. Out of those aluminum windows, your leaky old windows, you could be saving up to 40% on your electric bill right now. Think about that. Think about what your electric bill is. Now take 40% of that and put it in your pocket every month. How great would that be, right? Guys, call my friends at Allstate Siding and Windows today for their winter special. 30% off all windows, $2,500 for all full siding jobs. They are family-owned and operated for over 45 years. This is the kind of company you want to do business with. They've got military discounts, senior discounts, first responder discounts. Guys, remember, for the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Give them a call, 832-204-1936. 832-204-1936, or check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com. And you're standing on the edge, face up, because you're a natural. I've
been hot of stone. You gotta be so cold to make it. Dinner, gobble, gobble, gobble.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Come and get it while it's hot.
From ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Efforting Lance Zierlein. 928 says the NFL should start poaching the CFL kickers. Those dudes don't miss. It's funny, I see better kicking up there than I do down here. And those guys have to kick in some ridiculous...
Yeah. Who won the thing, Nick?
The Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Damn. Won their first one in 18 years.
Damn.
Well, it's longer than that, actually. I don't know if you saw the story about a guy who vowed to wear shorts until the Blue Bombers won the Grey Cup. And after 18 years, he was finally able to wear pants again. All right. Kind of a fun story. But it was a rough day for the wife because, of course, the Riders lost a game last week to the Winnipeg that they should have won. And, of course, Winnipeg runs away and hides in the Grey Cup. And so, and she does not like Winnipeg.
No.
She feels...
She was cheering for Hamilton?
She was not cheering at all. She refused to watch the game.
Really?
She was so mad about it. It's like the first Grey Cup we haven't watched since she's been
that
here.
That lets you know Canadian fans aren't that serious.
Oh, no, she's serious.
Because everybody watches the Super Bowl.
Well, but she hated Winnipeg so much she refused to watch.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame her. Besides, there was other football.
I hate the
on.
Patriots. I watch them every year.
Yeah. It's just... But see, that's what I was watching was Patriots and then the night game. So, regardless, so Winnipeg, congratulations, Winnipeg. I think it's a cute little story.
No, but... Lance, is Lance supposed to be here or on the phone?
On the phone. I think he's headed down to an appearance out in Lamarck.
Okay. Well,
Lamarck?
I think he's supposed to be at the winter lights that they set up at the dog track.
Oh, okay.
All right.
He said it was an appearance. I'm not sure if it was that or just
he's probably taking his kids.
Yeah. But
those lights are pretty nice, I have to tell you. Having done that a couple times, so it's worth your time.
Can we go over what you took away from the college football slate this weekend?
I would love to do that. I kind of figured we'd do that at 6 o'clock because I thought we'd have Lance, but let's do that now.
Yeah, man. I don't know when we'll have Lance, so I figured we might as well just jump into it. But I will, and I got some heat over it, mostly from LSU fan, but I don't think there's an SEC team that has a chance to win the playoff. They are, I mean, Georgia, are you kidding me? 19-13 over Aggie? That's, you could put up 19 on A&M? Oh. And I, trust me, I've been on Georgia, but my goodness.
But they've also had a couple games like that where offensively, they just didn't show up. And that will hurt you, except I'm not going to go that far because they're all going to have a month to prepare. I think a lot of it's going to come down to matchups. And, you know, LSU can score enough that even against a good defense, I think.
Of course he is.
Of course he's ready now.
We'll get back to football talk, like college football talk later.
I actually had a really good point to make there.
Well, that's okay. We'll make it later.
But Lance Erline's more important than me, though, so let's go to Lance.
Well, no, keep talking college. Well, what's the problem?
Well, I'm saying I don't think any of these SEC teams have a legit shot to win the national title because they are all of them are wildly flawed on one side of the ball or the other.
Yeah. So you don't have Tua now, so that eliminates their ability to win. Georgia doesn't have enough on offense. LSU is not very good defensively, but they are really, really premium on offense. So, I mean, there is that. I don't know that I completely believe in Clemson defensively.
What?
I mean, to me, it feels like a two-team race. To me, it feels like LSU, Ohio State, and then what you worry about is what you guys are talking about, and that's LSU just defensively. They don't have a lot of playmakers.
See, I feel like it's Clemson and Ohio State, and then, you know, I'd put LSU and Utah in the next group, and then I might put Georgia and Alabama after Utah. Utah's at least got they play some defense. They've got a good quarterback. They can run the ball. They've got a good coach. Georgia's got no wide. I guess every wide receiver you have leaves to the NFL last year, it's hard to replace those guys. But my goodness, nobody can catch the ball down the field. That's just odd to me. And then, you know, the more I watch this LSU team, you've got to get more stops. You can't just count on Joe Burrow to score 100 points a game because he's not going to score 100 points against Clemson. He's not going to score 100 points against Ohio State. They're not going to allow that.
I would tend to agree with you, but you know, how did they score on that Longhorn defense? That's hard. It's hard to move the ball against.
Yeah, Texas. No one's done that.
And somehow he managed to do that.
Yeah. Even more ridiculous is how many points did the Longhorns, what, they put up 38? Who are the Longhorns putting 38 up on? They can't even put that up on.
When you look back at it, you realize that's an indictment of the LSU defense. I mean, and I kind of thought it was at the time anyway, just because their defense wasn't really good at getting stops. I'll just say this, though. If they beat Georgia in the ACC championship game, you know, they will have, especially if they're able to score on Georgia, which I think is going to be a challenge, more so than anyone else they face. But if they do it, if they hit in the 30s against Georgia, I'm just not going to sit here and tell you they can't score on anybody in the nation, because I think they can. If you score on Bama, no, it's not the same Bama team. You score on Georgia in the SEC championship game, that tells me that you can probably put some points up against Clemson. Now, Ohio State, to me, is the best team in the nation.
Because they're elite on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, they really haven't been challenged. So you never know how somebody is going to respond to being, you know, punched in the nose. And so when Justin Fields gets punched in the nose for the first time, we'll see how he responds, not how Ohio State responds. But they're just more talented, like you mentioned. I mean, they have just a bunch of playmakers all over the place. And that's the big difference. LSU's got plenty on offense. They don't have them on defense. And can you just burrow your way to a national championship with, you know, scoring in the 40s and 50s? You know, 30s, 40s, and 50s? I don't know. I don't know if you can, but I do think, for me, they're number two right behind Ohio State. That's how I view it.
Okay.
You're talking about not being challenged. How about Clemson? I mean, they're not challenged at all in that conference.
No, they're really not, but I also think that at some point you've got to get past the narrative of, they don't play anybody in conference. Well, they played in the exact same conference last year, and guess what happened at the end of the season? They won the national championship, and they won it with style points.
But all your D-line's gone, right? Two starting linebackers are gone, although they got a good one there right now. There's a lot of guys with a lot of experience. One of the things that made them special is when the lights came on, those guys were really – well-versed in playing in big games. That's not the case with the defense now. So that would be my one counter to that.
I mean, everybody talks about that North Carolina game, that 20 points. That's the most points anybody scored on Clemson all year, 20.
Yeah,
LSU gave up 20 to Arkansas.
I think that, and look, to your point, I think people get too caught up in that one North Carolina game because since that time, no one's really been close to them. I mean, I think the one thing that has hurt them is that that their quarterback, who everyone put everything on the quarterback, he hasn't had a Heisman year. And so the belief is that that's, you know, that they're really not as good as I think they are. They can run it. They've got good receivers. They've got an experience, even though it's his second year, they've got an experienced quarterback. And then they have played really well defensively. I just don't know that they've been challenged defensively. So that would be my one question. Because I will say, LSU has been challenged. They've been challenged offensively, defensively, on the road. So they're battle-tested. Ohio State, not as much as LSU, but more than Clemson. And then, you know, I feel like whoever the fourth team is, Georgia just doesn't have enough juice offensively this year. And I don't think there's anyone else really, not Utah. I don't think there's anyone else that's going to threaten.
I think the Trevor Lawrence thing is also something that everybody's jumping at. And if you look at what his body of work, you start to realize, oh man, this dude actually has had a really good season. He threw a couple picks the first few weeks of the season, and then he just shut it down. And you look at his stats compared to last year. Now you have to look per attempt because they've been pulling him out of these games. It seems like Dabo Swinney all along was like, nah, I don't care if you win the Heisman or not, kid. We're here to win football games. We're here to win a championship. So he's been pulling him in the second half of almost every game.
Oh, he's pulling the Spurs. I mean, it's total Popovich move.
But
I don't want to go load management, but that's really what it is. He's making sure that everything is optimal for his chance at a national championship.
But he's got a better completion percentage, a better QB rating than he did last year. He's having a better season. He's just not putting up the big numbers because Clemson hasn't needed to. They've really needed him to play a full game one time this year.
Oh, I think a Clemson LSU matchup could be unbelievable. That would be an unbelievable playoff game with Burrow versus, you know, here's the guy who has just come out of nowhere and risen from I don't want to say risen from the ashes because he was never considered a big prospect, you know, coming over from Ohio State, didn't get off to a good start at all, kind of out of sight, out of mind. And then here's this everyman who has got this Joe Montana vibe to everything he's doing, and then you got the golden boy, the guy who looks a little bit like Marilyn Manson's son, potentially, but at the same time, that's the guy that everyone's waiting for to eventually go pro, that he's got everything. And I mean, he's being talked about like Andrew Luck was talked about back in the day, where everyone's just waiting it out for him to go pro.
Well, what'd you take away from the Texans showing against your Colts?
I mean, you know, they were scrappy. The Colts don't have anything down the field to challenge them. T.Y. is not himself. They got beat up a little bit by the offensive line, but I thought the Texans hung in pretty well. It is strange that Hopkins has two touchdowns, Fuller goes for 140, and yet they get 20, you know, and one of them was on a busted touchdown. Like, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. To me, that's a great win for the Texans, though. I mean, it's no matter how you want to judge it, it was a big, big win for them. They had to have that one. They got it. They're clearly in the driver's seat. Really, it might be against Tennessee. This may be a Tennessee versus Texans thing down the stretch, and I give a big advantage to the Texans in that one. What I found even more interesting is over the weekend when the article from The Athletic came out with Dan Pompey, where Earl Thomas said, oh, yeah, Deshaun Watson had me call Bill O'Brien, and I called him, and I thought the conversation was going to go different, but he told me that he questioned whether or not really wanted to play football anymore whenever Earl Thomas was a free agent. I'm like, wait, what? What happened? You called Bill O'Brien. He was at a rodeo. He was at the rodeo. And then according to Earl Thomas, OB questioned whether or not he really wanted to play football still, which I never heard anyone question that on Earl Thomas.
Well, yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting myself. I think, answer me this. Fred and I were talking about this earlier. Are the Titans now more of a contender than the Colts?
Well, see, I think they have a chance to be. I think the Colts are the better team, but it's kind of irrelevant because the Titans have the shot. Like, they've got two head-to-head games against the Texans. So the Colts don't control their own destiny. The Titans do. The Titans have a chance to beat the Texans twice and leapfrog everybody and win a division. So from that standpoint, I think they're more of a contender. I think the Colts are the better team, but it's really going to be irrelevant because it looks like you're going to have to win a division to get in the playoffs from this division. And I don't see the Colts doing that right now. They've just injuries have really slowed them down, and no T.Y. Hilton has become, well, it might as well be no T.Y. because he was a shell of himself last game. So no Marlon Mack, no T.Y. Hilton. It's going to be pretty tough for them to be a factor. So, yeah, I would tend to say Tennessee just because Tennessee gets their crack twice.
Yeah, I honestly think that the wild card is very much in play for both Tennessee and Indiana. For go look at the rest of the league. The Bills,
well, you know,
the Bills look like they're in, but then
starting to fall apart. So you might be right there.
Yeah, I mean, and the Colts have a heads up. The Raiders are in the mix. I think the Titans are in the mix.
Well, the Bills are going to lock up one. You know, that's a good point because I didn't think about the fact that the Raiders got smashed by the Jets, and it looked like the Raiders, if they just took care of the Jets, they'd be in the driver's seat. But that didn't happen. You know, and then the Chargers get back into it if they get a win tonight.
Yeah, and then
not tonight, but next week.
But then the Steelers and even the Browns, I don't think, are totally out of this thing. So that wild card could get interesting.
It could. I think the Texans, Texans are going to win the division again. It's going to be four of six?
Yeah, four of six, I believe.
O'Brien
yeah.
is there. And then, you know, they say you're measured by what your record is, but really you're going to be measured by what your record is in the postseason. That's it for Bill O'Brien because, you know, people just are not believers. So the Texans are going to have to do something in the postseason to make them believers, I think.
Well, they're going to – well, you know what's going to happen. They're either going to lose in the first round or they're going to win one game and get crushed in the second round. So,
I mean, that's the odds-on favorite.
Yep. All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him in the mornings here, 7 to 9:30. I was listening to him this morning, as a matter of fact. Lance, always appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
All right. I want to get into that college football talk a little bit.
All right.
I mean, we got a gem of the day to do next, but I think I think you're right about one thing, but I think you're way off about something else.
Okay.
If that sounds fair.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Everywhere I go, catch me on the block like a Mutombo. 750 Lambo in the Utah snow.
You're listening to The Blitz, The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Guess what I got to read here? World-renowned Beatles expert Howard Goodall is coming to Houston to share his insights into the creative genius of the Beatles. This one-of-a-kind event will take place Monday, December 16th. At the beautiful George Theater, thanks to St. Luke's Music with Friends, Jaguar Houston Central, Land Rover Houston Central, and Momentum Mini. Doors open at 6:30 and includes light bites, both before and after Goodall's presentation. This is an exceptional, rare opportunity. The first time Goodall has given his presentation on the Beatles in the United States. Tickets are now on sale at sportsmap.com.
Very cool.
Sportsmap.com, the greatest website in the history of the world. Got a couple videos coming. I'm going to be doing one with Eric Sandler tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're going to do our three favorite steak nights and kind of go back and forth on that. So that should be fun. And I'm sure I'll be doing another one just because apparently everybody else is gone. So I'm like the last resort video guy.
That makes sense.
Yeah, well, because look at me.
Nobody's trying to see that.
No. Nobody wants to see how I look on video. All right, let's go to the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we go to China, which is kind of the Florida of Asia. I mean, we've had a lot of good stories from over there. Where they've got some weird animals over there. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Apparently, there is a monkey with a human face.
Oh, I didn't know about
in
that.
China. Yeah, which... I don't know how to feel about this because we know when the simian uprising comes, then we know where it starts. I don't know if looking like a human is there because in Planet of the Apes, they don't really, well, the original, they did look like humans.
Right.
And in the remakes, although one of them was Helena Bonham Carter, so even as an ape, I was totally into that.
Don't
say it. Oh, come on. You would have.
No.
I would have. But he's 19 years old. He's in the Tianjin Zoo in eastern China. And apparently he's really popular because he went viral on the internet because he looks like a man.
Okay.
And apparently, though, he has, I think men can relate to this problem. He's been unable to find a mate. He apparently, the ladies don't appreciate his active and aggressive playing with mud and smashing coconut skills. Golly, you know, that's isn't that just typical of a woman?
They you never appreciate.
You play too much mud.
You know how hard it is to smash a coconut with
you
your bare hands?
You smash coconuts too much. You gamble, you drink. The zoo said he currently has three playmates. But when the other ones grow up, we hope there's a chemistry so he can finally have a wife. But, yeah. So, apparently, these monkeys, it's technically a capuchin, I guess. Or I don't know how to pronounce it. But a Margarita Island capuchin.
Okay.
They live for 25 to 30 years. So, he's got time to settle down.
Yeah.
But he's also got three playmates.
He's just got to find the right one.
I think if I'm him at this stage.
Mrs. Wright.
Yeah. And, that is the Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
So, yeah, we'll definitely get into the college football talk because there's a few things that I kind of took away from this weekend that reinforce some things that I thought. And even though one performance in particular may not look good on the surface, I thought it was pretty damn good. So,
We're probably, I'm sure I'm thinking of the same thing you are.
But. Yeah, and that's where I'm going to agree with you on something to a point.
Okay.
But, yeah, just a little teaser.
You agree with me on Carbach being awesome?
Who doesn't? If you don't agree with that, shame.
Who doesn't? Carbach's the best. Who doesn't shame. Think so? Guys. Get on out to Carbach's restaurant and patio if you haven't been. You know what? You probably got family in town, and they're probably going to be staying through the weekend. And you know what? You don't want to cook. You don't want to have to cook dinner before Thanksgiving. So take them out. Get your in-laws all wasted up on Carbach. Have a good meal. And then on Thursday, you can eat your dry-ass turkey. You're eating that good food at Carbach. They're doing it up right. Then Saturday and Sunday, they'll have brunch going. They're open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Just a great place to take a group, take some people from out of town, or just take some buddies to go drink some beer. If you haven't had some of the menu items, out of this world. I love the Korean fried chicken. The poutine is good. And everything pairs great with one of the beers they've got on the wall. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for everything they got going on. And pick up your favorite Carbach beer this week, or ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.